I want you to think about this. If you knew there was just one thing between you and the most important things that this life has to offer, would you stop at anything to get that one thing out of your way? Really? Now, I dare say most of us would do whatever we could to get the one thing out of the way, even for things that are much less important. But the Bible teaches us that there is one thing that stands between mankind and all of the spiritual blessings that God has to offer in this life. But what's this one thing? Now, this is assuming, of course, that certain other conditions have already been met prior to meeting or to prior to coming up to this one thing of, in our life. Now, these include the believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Such belief comes from hearing the word, Romans 10, verse 17. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus says it is essential that we believe on him, because if we don't, well, we just studied this in class. We know what this one says. John 8 and 24, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. And that means, of course, not just believing that Jesus lived historically, but that Jesus was, in fact, deity in the flesh. And Paul points out the necessity of repentance. We know that, repentance is the idea of the change of mind. And in Acts 17 and 30, we're told that all men everywhere are commanded to repent. But at this point, most religious people want to stop. And you know why they want to stop? They want to stop because of the one thing that stands between them and God's blessings. Well, what is that one thing that stands between the alien sinner and God's blessings? Well, I can identify it quite simply. You say, well, just a minute now, what are you talking about, an alien sinner here? This has nothing to do with the part of the world you come from, okay? What we're talking about here is the person who is in Christ, a Christian, and the person who is out of Christ. That is, they are an alien to the kingdom. They are not part of the kingdom. And that, of course, is what we mean by alien sinner. So, but let's think about this for a moment. What is it that stands between the alien sinner and all of these blessings? Well, it is, in fact, water baptism. We know that Jesus commanded his apostles in Mark 16 and verse 16 to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, hold on a minute. That's not what we find preached in the denominational world. In fact, most denominational creeds state that baptism has nothing whatsoever to do with salvation. Yeah, that's right. Well, what about Jesus saying here, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? That's just ignoring what it says. Oh, but they say, yeah, he who does not believe will be condemned. You mean that there's somewhere in between belief and baptized, somewhere in here in between, that if you don't believe, you still... Now, this isn't teaching this. And if you look at it rationally and calmly, you can see what he means by this. If a person doesn't believe, why would they be baptized? Honestly. I mean, it takes help to misunderstand what Jesus says here in the Scriptures. Thus, baptism stands between the alien sinner and salvation. That's why on Pentecost, after Jesus said this in Mark 16, on Pentecost in Acts 2:38, when Peter was asked by the people, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Now, that's what he said to do, for the remission of sins. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, which Jesus commanded them to preach. Simple as that. And he said, baptism is for the remission of sins. So clearly, baptism stands between the alien sinner and remission of sins. But there are those who would say, well, this isn't water baptism. We're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if I didn't know God had a hand in writing this, I'd wonder how it happened. But whenever we open our Bible and we look at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, we find that Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48, shows us that the people who were identified as Gentiles, who were accepted by God, were commanded in verse 48 to be baptized in water. That's what verse 47 says. Can any forbid water? Yeah, that's what it says. Peter preached the same gospel to Cornelius and his family as he did to the Jews on Pentecost. And that included water baptism. Whenever God sent Ananias to Saul and to tell him what to do, we find him saying in Acts chapter 22, now, Saul, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, what does that tell us? Baptism stands between the alien sinner and the washing away of sins. Baptism was specified as a factor in the washing away of sins. Now, not literally, as if water, even if you poured a whole reservoir of water on sin, it wouldn't help it any. But the act of obedience, baptism stands between the alien sinner and the washing away of sins. That is what we read in the Scriptures. Now, water baptism also stands between the alien sinner and the death of Christ. Notice in Romans chapter 6, I got kind of slap happy. There we go. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, do you not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now we know it was in the death of Christ that he shed his blood. We read in in John chapter 9 and verse 44. No, just a minute here. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. Where is that? No, 1934. I knew it was here somewhere. One of the soldiers pierced his side with the sword, and immediately blood and water came out. And in Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus said that his blood was shed, notice this, for the remission of sins. Realizing the importance of the death of Christ, all men should want to be baptized into his death. But another blessing only found on the other side of water baptism is becoming a new creature. Paul says in Romans 6, verses 4 and 5, we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk, notice, walk in newness of life. For if we have become united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is why Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, that is, we are baptized into Christ, Galatians tells us that plainly, he is a what? New creation. All things have become old and passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now remember, water baptism stands between the alien sinner and this wonderful blessing that we just have cited. But is that all? Well, let's look at it again. What is it that stands between the alien sinner and putting on Christ? Well, this is where we find out that we are all sons of God, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. All sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The idea here of putting on is in the same way that it is used with regard to the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. Some versions render this, clothe yourselves with Christ. So what do we learn from this? Well, those who are not, get back here or where we belong, those who have not been baptized in water for the remission of sins are not clothed with Christ, nor can they be. Also notice that Paul says we are sons of God as a result of obedient faith in Christ. One cannot be a child of God short of obedient faith. That's a very important point. Now, another blessing, the alien sinner. There it is. The alien sinner can't have without water baptism is sanctification. Now look at Ephesians 5 with me for just a moment. Paul is using the husband-wife relationship here to explain the relationship between Christ and the church. Okay? And he says in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Notice the washing of water by the word. What does this refer to? Well, it refers to water baptism in obedience to God's word. Simple as that. Only those who have been baptized into Christ, and that is the commands of baptism, are sanctified. Notice in there, there's a cleansing that's connected with that too. The cleansing that's connected with it. Now, those who have not as yet submitted to water baptism as a result of their faith in Jesus have yet to put off the body of sin. In Colossians chapter 2, beginning of verse 11, Paul says, in him you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins in the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Well, we also find that water baptism stands between the alien sinner and forgiveness. Well, let's look at Colossians 2 and 13, see what we're talking about here. And you, being dead in your trespasses and sins, and the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Now notice, this is what happens. Having forgiven you all trespasses. There's no forgiveness that's ever promised to anyone since Pentecost who has not been baptized for the remission of their sin. Now, you notice what I said. And that wasn't an accident. Now, some people will want to cling to the thief on the cross and say, oh, he wasn't baptized. Now, you better hold it a minute. You don't know that. You don't know that, because John was baptizing many people prior to that. And he could have just as well been baptized in John's baptism as not. So that's not really a statement that you can make safely. But there is one thing you can say for sure. When Jesus told him, this day you will be with me in paradise, Jesus was still breathing. Still alive. So that doesn't have anything to do with us. His shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection is what made our salvation possible. So we have to take it for what it says. But notice that baptism for the remission of sin, simply being immersed in water, is not the water baptism that we read about in the New Testament. One must submit to immersion in water as a result of their faith in Jesus Christ and assurance that in baptism that he will give them forgiveness of past sins. But Jesus also connected water baptism standing between the alien sinner and the kingdom. Yeah, that's right. Look at John 1 and 1. Jesus answered Nicodemus, and he said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, the water here is most assuredly the water of baptism. Because it's the only water connected with the gospel of Christ. And it is most assuredly the action directed by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, speaking to the apostles, told him to tell people what? Repent and be baptized. Without water baptism, no one will ever enter the kingdom of God. Simple as that. And, you know, Peter said, interesting one, because he says over here in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, baptism stands between you and a good conscience. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, notice 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. In this passage, we have Peter using the saving of the household of Noah and the eight souls that were saved through water. And then he says in verse 21, there is now also, okay, I'm going to say, get it right, I almost slipped and started quoting from another version. Okay. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Now, we'll stop right there. The antitype would be an antitype to the saving of the household of Noah in the flood, okay? There's an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. Now hold it a minute. Baptism doesn't have, in the Greek word itself, have any religious significance. Particularly, it actually means take your silverware and dip it in and wash it and pull it back out. But he says, I'm not talking here, now not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. What does he mean? He says, it's not like your Saturday bath. That takes the filth of the flesh off. But it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. It pertains to the conscience. And notice, it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the statement in here, not the removal of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience, is parenthetical. Notice that. If you read the verse without the parenthetical statement, you have, there is also an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, that sounds familiar. That kind of sounds like what Paul was talking about. But Peter explained somewhat that we're not talking about normal removal of the filth of the flesh, but rather getting a good conscience towards God. And here, the word answer means that it's the answer one seeks for with regard to a good conscience before God. That's the idea. Again, without water baptism, one may have a good conscience in that they act in accordance with what they believe. Seems like I knew a fellow who acted in accordance with what he believed. And the first time we run into him, he's standing at the stoning of Stephen and he's minding their coats. But he says he acted in good conscience. The problem was he did not believe what God taught at that point and have a good conscience towards God. Notice that. Now, I know you can't believe I could possibly come up with another one. But what stands between the alien sinner and the body of Christ? Now, let's look at this for a moment. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God put all things under Christ's feet and gave, and now if you're noticing that the hymns and his and hers, and I'm putting the noun in the place where the pronoun is to help us understand this, okay? God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, Christ's body, the fullness of him, that's God, who fills all in all. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, that in compliance with the direction of the Holy Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Oh, that's the body we read about in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body. Just like there's one hope, one faith, one baptism, all that, that's the same thing. And what is the body? Well, it's the thing that Christ is the head of. The church. And the facts are that one cannot be in the one body unless he puts him there. The Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. But finally, and I know you're glad for this, finally, Water baptism stands between the alien sinner. Oh, that was neat. That was pretty cool. Okay, stands between the alien sinner and the wearing of the name of Christ. Now, notice with me, if you will, and this is an interesting passage, and I don't know if you've considered it in this light before, but I want you to right now, okay? In 1 Corinthians 1, 11 through 17, okay? Paul begins his letter to the brethren in Corinth. He says, "Been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household that are in our contentions among you. Now this I say, each one of you says, I am of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Now stop right there. What's he driving at here? He's saying, you're calling yourselves after men. And so he says, were these men that I'm talking about here, were they crucified for you? Were they baptized were you baptized in their name? And Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you. Now, if we had that only, we would think, well, you know, Paul didn't baptize anyone. He just saw some baptized. No, that isn't what he said. He said, I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptize in my own name. Yes, also the household of Stephanus. But besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. He may have baptized more. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ should be of no effect. He didn't send Paul specifically for the reason of baptizing. That wasn't what he was to do. He was to teach people the gospel that led them to do that. The only way that one can truly say that they are of Christ or that they are a Christian is if Christ was crucified for them and they were baptized in the name of Christ. That's it. Now, if you knew, and you knew I was going to come back to this, if you knew that there was just one thing between you and the most important thing that this life has to offer, would you stop at anything to get that one thing? Dear one, if you've not yet been baptized in water for the remission of your sins, this is one thing that stands between you and all spiritual blessings. And each day that you let go by without doing anything about it, you're taking chances. How much longer are you willing to risk your eternal destiny by refusing to get this one thing out of the way? If this describes you, it is our sincere prayer that you will be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and that this will not be something in your way anymore. If you have not done this, we're ready to assist you. And if you have done it, but your life has not been true to the commitment you made to the Lord, we offer you an opportunity to ask for the prayers of the brethren on your behalf in full assurance God will hear and that He will forgive.